I got his name. Okay. I'm really privileged and honored to be with you this evening. I cannot talk, you know, because I'm really happy about seeing you and my friends here. And I want to thank my dear friend BG for allowing me to connect to these wonderful families and connect Pastor Bob here and other pastors and ministers, Johnny and other wonderful men. And there I could meet your pastor, not Steve, Jamie. So, okay. So I was thinking about that, you know, because we were just friends within 5 minutes. I was talking a little bit about the ministry, and I was just thinking about that when I was going in a car with my friend BG. It was like a David and Jonathan, the friendship, you know, like they're both spirits together, you know, dwelled on that. I just felt like that. And the next moment, I was there with my sister, you know, Christy, to work out in the gym. And there again, I find this wonderful pastor, Jamie, in the gym. So Christy handed me to Jamie. And now I'm not able to lift my hand or leg also, because really, my body is completely sore right now because of your wonderful pastor. He made me to work so hard. We worked in the gym for 3 hours. So I'm really happy to connect to this wonderful family here. Thank you for making time to come to this meeting, listen to my stories. I thank you very much for your kind heart to come here. Before I speak, I want to show my what's called a film about the ministry. Before that, I want to thank my mother, Joanne, actually, because I'm staying with my mother. She is my mother, actually, mother in the United States. I lost my mother, and God gave me another mother here in the United States. I'm thankful for that. I'm really thankful for that. She's truly a real mother for me. And I can tell a little bit afterwards, okay. But before that, I want to talk about the ministry. And this ministry started in 1993 by the supreme call of Lord Jesus Christ. I come from a Hindu family and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal savior. And from that day onwards, I've been working for the ministry, for the Lord's work. And God called me when I was just 19 years old for the full-time work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's how I dedicated my life for the ministry. And for the last 24 years, I've been as a senior pastor for Zion Assembly Church. And God is helping this ministry to plant many churches. Now we planted 7 churches over there. The churches are full, jam-packed with people. Now we have 1,000 congregation of, you know, people coming all from Hindu backgrounds, all from Hindus. Like 80% are Hindus, 10% are Muslims. And like other people are like other castes. So God is really touching the people's heart, and we are able to plant churches. We are able to plant 7 churches right now. God is really helping us. We conduct crusades. We have a big crusades, you know, mass evangelism. We also do the personal evangelism, house-to-house evangelism, distribution tracts. And at the same time, we do, you know, the mass evangelism, conduct mass evangelism. We ask people to come, you know, we pack up the things, we pack up the sound system and go to the villages, go to the slums, and there we conduct the crusades. Every day is a schedule for us, you know. Every day is a meeting for us. We have work 24/7. We work 24/7. Sunday, we have 7 services going from morning 6 o'clock till evening 10:30. We'll be completely tired, you know. And God is really blessing this ministry in a wonderful way to reach souls and to win souls. Because my passion, I come from a Hindu background. And my passion is to win my country to Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason I've been working day and night to get them to Lord Jesus. And God is really helping us. We do the social activities, you know, taking care of the people, because when we show the love, and that's how the people have been attracted to the love of Lord Jesus Christ. It's not only talking about Jesus, we show through actions, that's how really people have been attracted and drawn to the Lord Jesus. We take care of them when there is any flood in our city. We are the first people who take care of the people needs, you know, giving them the food packets, water packets, and that's how we get friendship with those people, and they come to the church after that, you know, and listening, and they gave their lives to Lord Jesus Christ. That's how the people have been really attracted by the word, and you know, by the actions, and then come to know about the Lord, then give their hearts. God is really helping us. We do the free medical camps, and we give them medicines free of cost, because you know, most of them are not affordable to go to hospitals too. So we hire doctors. I have friends in Vijayawada which are well-known doctors in all categories, like in cardiac surgeons are there. We have a general physicians. We have ENT specialists. We have children's specialists. We have general physicians. We hire those doctors and we give them honorariums like that, and we help. Ask them to help the society and the people, and they come and we buy the medicines and we give them the medicines free of cost. The people are, you know, because they're not affordable, and there are a lot of diseases in our places when they're, you know, because the water is contaminated when the floods come. There is a lot of fire accidents. We are the people who help them. And God is really blessing this ministry in a wonderful way. We also work in prisons, and we help the people in prisons. And, you know, we talk to the police department. And the police people and the superintendent, the commissioner, will open the, you know, prisons for us, so that we go into prison and, you know, talk about the love of Jesus, and we give them fruits and eatable things and the meals for them. So that's how, you know, many of them in the prison also gave their lives to Lord Jesus Christ. After they come out from the prison, they call us, and you know, that's how we've been really wonderfully impacting the peoples. You know, actually the prison ministry, which has been founded by Jack Corson, actually Brother Jack Corson has invited me to come to Canada in 2007 for the Prison Fellowship International Conference, because as he has known that we have been working in this prisons areas. So God has been helping this prison ministry to grow, and God, we have been getting souls from prison. Many of them came from prisons and been baptized and gave their hearts. They have been changed wonderfully. And in spite of all this, we take care of widows and orphans. We take care of widows and orphans, because there is a lot of need for the orphans and widows in our country. In our country, 20 million children are on streets, and they don't have anything to eat. Every day they go hungry stomachs. You know, that's the reason most of them will make use of these people. And there is a mafia going on right now. Take the children from the slums, and you know, they are making the children to beg on the streets. And with that money, they are living. You know, they are making money out of that. And these children, if they are not earning more money, they are going to cut off their hand or take out an eyeball, so that the people will see these people without a hand and without an eyeball, get a compassion for those people and give more money so that they can collect more money. So that's how the mafia, children's mafia, are going. You may be watching that in a Slumdog Millionaire film. That's a real story, actually, what has been happening. And really, and the girl children is a problematic in India, because a girl should give dowry, like a money for getting a groom for her. And, you know, most of the parents, you know, like having four children, like five girl children, is a big burden. Some of them will see those kind of parents and will tell them, you know, I have a place where your child can work, so that she can earn some money and give to you. So they have been attracted by that. So they send one of the two girls to that place, and they have been not seen from that time, because their girls are being sold out into prostitution. And that small girl, for the lifetime, she will be a prostitute. So that's the reason God put a burden on me in 2010 to take care of the orphans and widows. And now I'm taking care of these wonderful children in the orphanage. We have built a nice orphanage where we can accommodate 200 children right now. But unfortunately, because of no support, we have been able to take care of only 24 children. Please do pray about it. My main coming to West Virginia or the United States is to raise some funds for taking care of these precious children and their needs, so that we can take more children into this orphanage and give them a wonderful education and a wonderful place to sleep. We have a nice bunk beds to sleep, you know, nice mattress and a nice pillow and a nice, you know, like a wonderful place, you know, blanket. They never experienced these kind of things. They sleep, you know, on the streets, on a mud floor. And now they experience this kind of wonderful experience. They are very much pleased. They have been well, beautifully treated, you know. They have a nice dress, uniforms for going to school. They have nice shoes. They never put on their shoes, actually. They never wore a shoe. They never drank a drinking, pure drinking water. We have a mineral plant in the orphanage itself, giving them the pure mineral water for them to drink. You know, and we have a nice, beautiful place for them to sleep in. And also we give them a 3 meals a day. And God is really helping those children to bring up in a Christian atmosphere. They've been well, you know, those people can tell 66 books in the Bible from Genesis to Revelations. Those people can, you know, the children are so, you know, memorizing the verses, they can memorize the chapters in the Bible. Many of the Psalms they memorize. They know the 7 words on the cross which Jesus has spoke, the Ten Commandments. Everything, you know, these people are Hindu and these people do not know anything. But when we show them love, they want to know about Jesus. Jesus is the one who saved us life and give us a wonderful place to sleep, a wonderful meal to eat, 3 meals a day. And they're wonderfully, many of them don't know how to go to the bathrooms too, because they don't have bathrooms in India. You know, Indian people, most of the villages still now don't have bathrooms. They go for outside for poop, you know, and that's the critical condition right now. Our Prime Minister has been now giving, you know, a call so that I'm going to give you a loan. All people, please build your own bathroom. But they're not affordable to do that. And so the government is giving some money for that. So many of these children don't have bathrooms too. Now they have a wonderful place, bathrooms, and also a nice shower. They never experienced a shower water. They have a bucket, and with the bucket they have a tumbler, and with the tumbler they pour some water on their head, on the body. That's how they take bath, and very few water, because the water is also very scarce. Scarcity of water is there. So now we dig a big bore, and we connected to the overhead tank, and we have a nice pipe system so that, you know, they have a wonderful, you know, showers to experience. These all things you can see a little bit in, you know, the videos. And I request you to pray about it. And as God moves to in your heart, do something for these wonderful children to make a difference in their lives. And I also ask you to please come to this wonderful country. I extend my invitation to Pastor Jamie and also the church here and also the wonderful people who have come here. Please come. We are going to take care of you. You're going to say the people, how the people's life is, how the children are, and you can be a wonderful difference. You can make a difference in the children's life, and you can be a blessing to the children. Can you please watch this video? I'll come back again. The film, the orphanage, that's a wonderful orphanage we have built right now, and we can accommodate 200 children. So pray about it. As God laid burden on you, you can be a blessing. Today I'm going to talk about love. That's what the word L-O-V-E, love. God is love. And my question today, do you love God? Everyone say, you know, I love God. But let's meditate on the word today and see what's the meaning of loving God. Let's, you know, love, do you love God? Do I love God? Just examine us. Let's examine us in the word of God. Do I love God? How do I love a person? How do you love other person when you know that person? Unless you know God, you cannot love God. So it's important that we have to know God, then after that you fall in love with him so that you love God. It's not that I love God. Without knowing a person, you cannot love a person. The same way, without knowing God, you cannot love God. It's important that we should know God first. That's the reason Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, Paul writes like this, you know, Paul tells about this. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection that comes from God. He want to know Christ and he want to also know the power of resurrection. So his eagerness and his zeal is to know about God, know about Christ. When you know about God, when you know about Christ, we fall in love with him. That's what happened with me too. It's not that one day we are able to not knowing about Jesus. When I accepted the Lord, I never knew anything. Like a little bit I know, because Jesus is the only one who has died for me. I was used to worship many gods. Because in India, we have like 66 millions of gods and goddesses. Snake is a god for us. Monkey is a god for us. Elephant is a god for us. Our stone is also a god for us. 66 millions of gods and goddesses. Now you know the true God, that he died for your sins on the cross of Calvary, and through his, you know, stripes you have been healed, through his wounds you have been healed, through his blood you have been washed. You ask for forgiveness, he will forgive you. This kind of God, I never seen that kind of God. We worshiped a God who cannot see, who cannot speak, who cannot hear our prayers. I used to worship those kind of gods. My mother used to worship those kind of gods. But when you know that God, you fall in love with him. But it is not only knowing a little bit about God. But the day I got saved, from that day till this day, I am still learning, knowing more and more about my Jesus. When you know more about him, you fall more in love with him. That's what happens. See, I have my wife, a wonderful wife. I every day speak with my wife. You know how I met my wife? It's an arranged marriage. It's not a love marriage. In India, 80% are arranged marriages. So that means my father and mother, you know, searched for, you know, like a bride for me. And that's how I got touch with her. You know, like I was meeting her for just an half an hour. And there was, you know, we went to their house, their parents. We were able to talk with her for 5 minutes. That's all. 5 minutes what I will be learning about her. 5 minutes what she could learn about me. Nothing. But we learn, we know each other within 5 minutes that, you know, he's a pastor, he is from this city and all these things. She said, okay, let me pray about this. She said, okay. And he said, okay. After marriage, we got to know each other. Every day, every month, every year, we fall in love with each other every day, because we are able to know each other every day more. When we know more about my wife, I fall in love with her. Now for the last 19 years, I've been having a wonderful wife, and she's having a wonderful husband. We have been blessed with a wonderful child of 16 years. Her name is Aksa Kalyani. Aksa is Bible's name in the Bible, Caleb's daughter. You know, Caleb's only daughter, me for only daughter. So, you know, and God has been blessing my family. Every day I speak to them. So it's a wonderful love between me and my wife. When you know each other, when you know more about one another, you fall in love. Bible says, when you know me, you will fall in love with me. You know, we love him not because, Bible says, 1 John 4 chapter 19, we love because he first loved us. He loved us. God loves us. You know, God is love. Bible 1 John 4 16 says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. When we have love, we will be like Jesus. You know, that's how wonderful love. You know, I want to talk about love. That what God has loved us. When you know His love, then we start loving Him. It's not a one-way love. People want everyone, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We know that wonderful song, Jesus loves me, that I know. Yeah, this I know. But my question, am I loving God? It's not a one-way love that Jesus always loves. Yes, He loves you so much. He gave His life. God loves so the world. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall never perish but have an everlasting life. God gave. When you have love, you give. God gave His only Son. And He has to die for us on the cross of Calvary. He has shed blood for us. You know, He was being slapped for us. He was being beaten for us. He was being split on His face. You know, He was being beaten by the fist. You know, He was being slapped. He shed His precious blood on the cross of Calvary. This much He loved us. My question, how much we are loving back? Jesus loves us this much. But am I loving God? My question. One day, one girl, you know, celebrating her birthday, you know, with her mother. But she told her mother not to come out from the house. Not to come out from the room. And she's celebrating her birthday with her friends. She don't want her mother to come in the what's called the birthday celebration. She don't want her mother to come. She said, okay, but she mother is the one who cooked everything, and now the children have come, her friends have come, you know, she's celebrating her birthday function. And after the party is over, mother in the kitchen, she saw one of the dish was being kept there, that was being not given to the children. Oh, this is a wonderful dish. I have to give this, you know, to the dessert. This is the last final dessert. She has to give. So she thought, let me give it and come back to my room. So she came and she gave it. And when she came back, but the children tasted that wonderful dessert and said, oh, it's so delicious. Who made it? Then she came out and said, I made it. Then the girl asked, go inside. The children asked, she made so delicious. Who is she? Then she calls her mother, own mother. She is my servant. She is my maid. She's a servant working in my house. The children said, okay, that's a beautiful dish. That's a beautiful, delicious. We want her to come and cook in our house too. Will she be able to make it? Oh, of course, I'm going to send her. The children left. The mother was crying in the room. The child came to the mother and said, get out from my house. I told not to come out from your room. Why did you come? Then she said, because of this, you know, dish has been there in the kitchen, so I want to bring it. I told not to come. Why did you come? I don't want to see your face. I don't want my friends to see your face. Your face is so ugly. We don't want your face to be seen. Get out from my house. Then she showed the Bible. And in the Bible there was a picture, a photo with her father. Then she asked, who is this girl? Who is this lady? Who is this small girl? This is me. Who is this man? Is my father. Who is this lady? I don't know who this lady was. This is me. No, she is beautiful over there. You don't look that much beautiful. You're an ugly girl. Then she said a story, told a story. What happened, you know, when you're a small baby? We are in a hut, a small hut, and you are been just swinging in a small swing. And there was a firewood over there. I'm cooking the meals for you. When I went out, you know, to get some water, suddenly our hut got on fire. So the whole hut was burning. I was screaming like anything, asking for help to save you because you are just a baby. You cannot come out by yourself. So I was screaming like anything for help, but no one has come forward to help you. Since I'm your mother, I've given birth to you. I don't want to die in front of you, in front of me. So I just jumped inside the heart and I took you in my lap. And I was just coming out, the big, you know, bamboo sticks have fallen on my head and I got, my whole skin got burned off. I've fallen down on the ground and they picked me up and took to the emergency. Finally, I should die, but my whole skin has been burned off. 80% of my skin is burned. Now I look ugly, but you know, I was so beautiful. I have sacrificed my beautiful, handsome life for you because I love you. Now you call me servant. It's okay, my baby. I won't make you live. That's the reason I am ready to die. I jumped into the fire. But now you call me a servant and get out from my family. I'm going to get out from your house. Then she said, sorry, mom, forgive me. I never knew that this much you loved me. I'm sorry for that, mom. I'm sorry for calling you servant. I'm sorry for that. When you know your Lord, that how much he has done for you and me, you love him back. And that's the reason God is expecting every one of us to love him back. And that's the first commandment what God has given from Mark chapter 12 verse 30. Says, you know, Bible says from Mark chapter 12 verse 30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. That's the first commandment. Are we fulfilling the first commandment which God has given us? There is only two commandments which God has given us. Love God, love others. Jesus has simplified the 10 commandments into two commandments. Because the 10 commandments says about this only two commandments. That four commandments, the first four commandments of the 10 commandments talks about loving God. The other six commandments talks about loving your neighbor. If you love your neighbor, you don't have adultery. You with the neighbor, you don't steal, you don't murder, you don't be lying, you don't be coward. Because when you love others. So God has simplified the 10 commandments into two commandments. Simplified saying that love me, love God, and love others. God has loved us so much. My question today, are we loving God? Are we loving God? Love the Lord your God. The first point, what I'm going to tell you is, what is loving God? Loving God is obedience to God. And that is loving God. When you're obeying God, that means you're loving God. If you are disobeying God, that means we are not loving God. Are we obeying God? Obedience tells about how much we love God. Obedience. John chapter 14 verse 23 talks about this. Anyone who loves me will obey my teachings. Who love me will obey my teachings. My Father will love them and we will come to them and make our home with them. Bible says, Jesus says, when you love me, you obey my teachings. My question today, are we obeying to God's commandments? Are we obeying to God? When we disobey, we are making God unhappy. God is expecting us to love him. When I was just a 15 years boy, I gave my life to Lord Jesus Christ. I was obedient for his call for the ministry. I was doing my engineering studies at that point of time and God said, I was busy speaker at that because I was having a passion for God and I was speaking a lot of churches and a lot of speaking engagements I had when I was just 17, 18, 19 years. And now when I was 19, God calls me for the ministry and says that you start a church. What do you mean, Lord, me starting a church? Yeah, you start a church. I'm just a 19 years boy, but I was just an obedient saying that, yes, Lord, I'm going to do that. When I was obedient to God, I can see how God works through me. How God works through you when you're obedient to you, God. God is so wonderful, you know. Obedience brings blessings. Abraham was obedient to God's call and left Canaan, Chaldea. And he was so obedient to God. He left all the idolatry. He was a worshiper of idols for 75 years. And when God called him, he made him a big nation. He was obedient. When you're obedient, when we are obedient, God will bless you. God has blessed this ministry for the last 24 years because, you know, I was just obedient to God's call at that point of time. I never knew whether I will be living or not if I am disobedient at that point of time. I thank God. God needs obedience from you to bless you. God needs obedience for you to give you more. Peter, you know, when he was obedient to throw the net, even though the last night he was working so hard, but not even one fish. But when you're obedient to God, throw the net here, there are plenty of fish. When we are obedient, when God needs obedience from you to take you forward, when we are obedient, we will move forward. When Israelites were obedient, you know, when Moses was saying, you know, there was in front of them, there was a big sea. When they're obedient, because they were moving, and what God told to Moses is to turn back and go to the Red Sea, near the Red Sea. When they're passing, God told them to turn back. Turn back this million people. Oh, they were obedient. And the love, you know, when we're obedient, we move forward. Obedience will take you forward. Obedience will give you a miracle. Obedience give a miracle. When Martha was saying, Lazarus died, you know, for 4 days. It's maybe smelling. But Jesus said, just roll down the stone for me. Be obedient. And he calls out the dead body, the dead man, Lazarus, come out. And the Lazarus will be walking. He's walking out from the tomb. What a miracle. Hey, when he can raise a dead body from the tomb, why can't he take a roll down? Is it very complicated for him to roll down a stone? No. But he wants us obedience. To be a miracle in our family. In our lives. Oh, when I'm obedient, I see miracles working. God was being, you know, helping me to do miracles. I'm not a miracle healer. But when I pray, people are being healed. When I was in the ministry, for the 1993, when I was a 19 years boy, you know, I was preaching the gospel on the street light. And people have started coming. One person was so, you know, arrogant, you know, like he was so angry with me. He started to kill me. Actually, he killed 4 people. He went to prison many times and he comes back from prison. In India, like people, like the life sentence is also 14 years. And people will not stay for life sentence also. You know, if they have the influence also, they can come out. If they can spend more money also, they can come out. You know, that's how the position is. No, this man comes from the prison and this man is so arrogant to say that I don't want to hear anything about Jesus. If I'm going to see you again, I'm going to kill you. The next moment, the next day, I'm there again preaching the gospel. He comes back again. I told you not to preach. Why are you coming again? So I'm obedient to God. God told me to go there. You be obedient, best to be obedient to me. No. Otherwise, I'm going to kill you, man. I'm been ready to die, sir. He was so furious, mad at me. You know, he complained to the police. The police came. They took me to the police station. And there were 150 people sitting, listening to me. And the police were taking me to the police station. 150 people followed me to the police station. God was helping me to bring out from the police station. Many times I have to go to the police station. God was helping me. But this man who was very much furious against me and who was mad against me, within 2 months he was got paralysis. And his mouth and his hand, his leg got turned upside down, like, you know, like different positions. He could not eat properly. He could not walk. He could not eat with his right hand. You know, his right hand, his right leg got turned upside down. And this man went to many hospitals and nothing has been done. So now this man, you know, is in a devastated situation. His wife, after 2 months, you know, talks to him. You have gone to many hospitals. Nothing has happened. why can't you call Pastor Rujandra to pray for you? Because he's praying, miracles are happening. Why can't you call him? Then he said, no, I have held against him. I have filed cases against him. He will be not coming to me. He said, no, will you give him a call? We'll see. He gives me a call. Next moment I'm there. You know, I'm available to them. And I talked about Jesus. You know, they were very happy. They want to hire a picture. They want to purchase a Jesus picture and hang on one of their walls and with their other gods. They want to be Jesus to be their one of their gods. Then I said, no. Jesus should be your only God. Then only the miracle will happen. It took nearly 2 weeks for him to call me back. He took away all the idols and he said, can you pray right now for me? Sure. Then we prayed. We all prayed for him. Our church people went, you know, the elders went. I was just 19 years young boy. And God was talking to me. Lay hands on his mouth. I opened my eyes. I saw his mouth was not good for me to touch. I said, no, Lord. Let me lay hands on his head and pray, Lord. Be obedient, my son. Be obedient. You're going to see the miracle. I don't like it, but I have to do it. And I touched his mouth. Instant miracle. Instant miracle. I can see the instant miracle over there. His mouth turned into original position. He could walk. He was a wonderful, a testimony in that neighborhood that he came to the Lord and now he was being baptized and he comes to the church. Many of them are, who are the followers of him coming to the church. That's how the churches have been expanded. When we are obedient, God does wonderful things in our life. He does miracles in our life. When we are obedient, he will protect us. When we are obedient, he will heal us. When we are obedient, we will get down from all kind of financial problems. He is the one who's going to take care of all of us. Mighty brothers and sisters, obedience is so important in our life. Loving God is obedience. In Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to 31, if you're going to read, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and all on his way kneels before him and said, good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? This is a wonderful young man. He's so passionate. Even though he's a rich man, he kneels down before Jesus. He asked Jesus, good teacher. He wants a desire. He is having a good desire to have an eternal life. But my question today, did he love Jesus? If he had loved Jesus, he would have been obeyed Jesus. Jesus has told him, you know the commandments? Yeah, you should not murder, you should not commit adultery, so on, He said, I kept since I was a boy. Good. Jesus looked at him and loved him. And one thing you lack, he said, go, sell everything you have and give it to the poor and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me. My question, did he follow him? Did he sell his possessions? No. That tells he's not obedient. Even though he follows 10 commandments, even though he runs to Jesus, people think, we are Christians, we run every Sunday to church, we run every meeting, we are going to be in eternal life. People think, we are so, religious people, we kneel down and pray, we do all kind of all things, I am the person following all the 10 commandments, I am righteous person, thinking about ourselves. But when Jesus said something, it was very hard on him to follow. Go and sell whatever you have. Give it to the poor and follow me. It was too hard for him to follow. So this man has lost the eternal life within minutes. What a wonderful opportunity God has given him. God has given him a wonderful opportunity to come into wonderful existence, wonderful life, a life of eternal life. But he missed it in seconds. because of his disobedience? Are we willing to give what we have to God? Sell everything you have. Now maybe that's not what God is talking to you. God is talking to me. You know, but are we obedient to whatever God tells us to do? Yes. I am blessed with my wonderful father. My father, when I came to ministry, he never expected me to do pastor's work, pastoral work, because he expected me to become an engineer and get some money. But now I am working in a slums and being a pastor. Do you know how much was the offering? Five pennies, not even a dollar. For 2 years we have to work, not even a dollar was there in the income in the church. I have to put income because, you know, my dad used to send me money for my engineering studies, and I used to save that money, and with that money, you know, I used to eat one meal and save the other meal, you know, so that I can get some money for the ministry. I used to go to the libraries to study and save that money to buy the books which I need. And with that money, I bought an amplifier, sound system, megaphones, you know, drum kit, and all these things. That's how the ministry started. We never got any money from anywhere. But God was really helping us in initial state to be obedient to him, to love him. And my God, you know, brought my father one day, and he was seeing the ministry, and he was really, you know, moved by God. And he was seeing the people changed. The lives are being drastically changed. Prostitutes, women saying, you know, in front of the mic, I was once upon a time a prostitute having this all sexual things, you know. I used to earn money through this. And now this pastor, this young man, had given the gospel of Lord Jesus. That's how I've been saved. This kind of testimonies. I was a murderer. You know, I murdered like 5 people. And now I'm my father was really, I'm going to support this boy. So he went home. He went to his place where he stays. And, you know, he asked me to come. And he said, I borrowed the loan money, giving my house into mortgage in the bank. And I got some money. Buy a property, a piece of land for the church. Oh, awesome God. Awesome God has given me a wonderful father. You know, a passionate for God. God was really helping. He was so obedient to God, you know. God moved him. So that's how we got the money to buy a piece of property. And one day God told him, you know, go to that place. Give up your job. He gave up his job, which is a wonderful job. And he came to the ministry with my mom, working with me in the slums. And staying with me in an asbestos roof, you know. And we all had one room and one kitchen. And one bathroom for 4 of us. My mom, my dad, me, and my brother. The whole family serving the Lord. And there were snakes coming in my house. No water to drink. We have to go to the bone pump to get some water. That's all. We had everything, but we left everything for the sake of ministry, and we are working for the Lord. I slept many days on the floor without a mattress, without a mat, without a pillow, without a cover on my body. And we love God that much because we love our people to come for the saving knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. You may think that I have a nice coat. This coat we don't purchase. You know, but God gives me. When I was in Canada, one person told, you know, Pastor, come to the shop. He took me to a shop saying that I want to buy a nice blazers for you. He bought me 2 blazers. I did not buy this. I don't have a blazer. I speak in television right now. And I don't have a blazer. I am the only man who speaks in television without a blazer. Only few years. And now I've been blessed with 2 blazers. God is providing me everything. I never thought like that, you know. Mighty brothers and sisters, when we are obedient, God does miracles. God does wonderful things. You know, this young man just don't want to sell his property, sell his possessions and give it to the God, give it to poor people and just want to follow God. He don't want to do that. That's the only one thing he lack. Yeah. Jesus was so compassionate. Jesus was so loving with this young man. I want you to do this to have an everlasting life because you are so much eager to have that. I want to give it to you, my son. Just be obedient. I'm thankful for my wonderful father who gave his money and who came to live with me in a wonderful in this ministry. And he was praying for the sick people. He ministered for the last 23 years in this ministry. Wonderful work. He has done a wonderful work. You know, after 5 years when he came back, came to this work, when the asbestoship, one day God told him again, go and sell your house and whatever you have and give it to the ministry. He was obedient. You know what my father has done? He has sold all his possessions, all his house, everything, whatever he has. He brought all the money and put it in front of me and said that, use as God leads you to use it. That's how the buildings you have seen, that building, you know, that church is like 3 churches we could build with that money which my dad has initially given. That's how a wonderful, when you give, oh, what a wonderful dad. I cannot forget what God has been helping through my dad. Recently, my dad went to the Lord. It was a very saddest day in my life. And till the last day he was working, when he was giving baptisms, we don't have a baptism pool, so we go into a river, you know, and we give in the river. And when he was in the river, I was also there in the baptism tank, but I was wearing a sandals. My dad was wearing a shoe. So he opened up a shoe and he went bare feet inside the what's called the river. And something, the nail poked him. And, you know, in the ministry itself, you know, he was suffering for 1 year with that poke, you know, and it got infected. And finally, he has to take out the leg. And, you know, even that condition, he was leaping and coming to the ministry. He don't want to leave the work. He just passionate. Even though in this so pain, he want to lay hands and pray for the people. And you know, and he was doing a wonderful work. After he left this earth also, the money which he has left back, you know, we used right now for 8 months preaching the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ in television channel through his money. He has left money before he left this earth. What a wonderful father, blessed father. When you love God, you give everything to God. And surely there is a treasure waiting for my dad. And my dad has gone to a wonderful place, a heaven, where God has really provided. He has been wealthy. He has given a red carpet invitation by Jesus. When you work for God and die for God, there will be surely a red carpet invitation for each one of us. I truly believe that. When Stephen got died, you know, when Stephen was stoned, what happened, did you know? He sees, you know, when he was stoning, you know, when he was being stoned, he was seeing Jesus. He was seeing the Son of Man standing, not sitting. We read in the Bible, the Son of Man sitting. But now, this Stephen is standing. Why he was standing? Do you know? I know that. He wants to give a honor to the man of God who has worked for him and who has died for him. Jesus stands up and gives him a red carpet invitation to come to heaven. Come, Stephen, into the wonderful existence. What a wonderful God I serve. And that's what I am looking forward for. I am looking forward for getting that kind of wonderful reward. Jesus standing for an unworthy servant like me and, you know, asking, come into heaven. That's what I'm seeking for. My dad, I believe that God has took him to heaven in a wonderful, because he was giving everything, his life, his time, his work, his job, his possessions, everything. But this young man lost this. I encourage you this morning, this evening, to love God. To love God. Loving God is not only sufficient. He says, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's important. Loving God is good, but loving God with all our heart is very important.
And my question, am I loving God with all my heart? I'm not going to explain today loving God with all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength. But I'm just going to focus only a little bit about how I'm going to love God with all my heart. Am I loving God? If I love God, I'm obedient to God. If I love God, I should be loving God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. That's what God is expecting from all of us. Am I loving God with all my heart? Jesus was so unhappy. He was talking about, you know, about that in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 and 9. These people will honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. They worship me in vain. What do you mean by hearts far away? When the heart is no more near, that means no true love towards God. When our heart is with God, we have love towards God. We have to worship God with our whole heart. That means the love towards Him. My question today, are we loving with our whole hearts? We see in the Bible, Luke chapter 9, verse 36, there is a lady, you know, young, there's a sinful lady, you know, comes to the Pharisee's house. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, a woman in the town who lived a sinful life learned Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. She stood at his feet weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. And that's the true worship with the heart. She has no words to say. She did not say even a single word from her lip. Her lips were not moving. Her eyes were in tears. That's the true worship with the heart. When you feel the presence of God, you know, I sometimes cry, you know, in the presence of God when I understand wonderful love which God has shown me to an unworthy servant like me. I am in tears. I'm at the feet of Jesus. Are we at the feet of Jesus? And that's what the true love means. You know, my mother, when she accepted the Lord, she was a radical Christian. She made me to mug up, like memorize the verses in the Bible. Unless you memorize the verses, no breakfast for me. That was a condition. So I have to study because to get a breakfast. That was a kind of, she's a radical Christian. She used to get up early morning, 4 o'clock, and she used to be on her knees praying to God. Amen. She loved Jesus so much. And I truly believe that my mother is my mentor. I never had a mentor. I never ever gone to a biblical Bible college to study my biblical. Even when they're asking me to come to United States, you know, the visa officer asked me, because you're a preacher, you know, he asked me, what degrees do you have? Do you have theological degrees? I have a neological degree. Yeah. I have a neological degree. I study the Bible on my knees. And now, by the grace of God, you know, and now North Carolina Theological Seminary has given recently a bachelor's degree for me. I never studied, but you know, they have seen my experiences. They have given the credentials for that. you don't need enough degrees, all these things. God is not worried about your degrees. God is worried about how much time you're going to spend on your knees. Connected with me. Talking with me, knowing my mind, so that you're going to listen to my mind and you're going to talk to the people about me, about my mind, what I'm thinking. What a wonderful father and mother God has given me. My mother used to fast for days.
She don't used to eat anything. She made us to also fast, come to the church. She took both the children to the church every Friday when we are having summer vacation holidays. Mommy, we want to play. No, come to the church. So we went to the church. We were the only boys in the church. All women are there. No man. And we are the two boys. She used to look to us. Pray, pray. Then we have to pray. That's, you know, she taught us in a wonderful way, you know. Wonderful way. Now you know, we are so blessed that both children are now the pastors serving in the Lord's ministry. Two children are serving in the Lord's ministry. She's so wonderful woman. She's so wonderful woman. One day she got cancer. And doctor said that within 7 days she's going to die. But she's not unhappy. She's so happy that she's going to go farther. But I was just a 15 years boy at that point of time. I was not asking. God, through your stripes, through your wounds, we are healed. I read from the Bible, from Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5, from 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24, through your wounds we are being healed. I just hold on to your promises, Lord. I ask my God, I ask Lord to heal my mother, and I believe that you're going to heal my mother and heal my mother from the cancer, Lord, and you're going to make her live. God talked to me from the word of God from John chapter 4, saying that I'm going to give your mother living water. I rushed to the hospital. She was in the intensive care unit with an emergency, with a ventilator on her mouth, you know, on her nose. And you know, I rushed into the hospital. They're not allowing me to go as a child, you know. But I asked them, requested, I want to talk a little bit and come back. So I was talking to my mother. Mom, God told me that he's going to live. You're going to live, Mom. God is going to give you a living water, it seems. You're going to live, mommy. You're going to live. The doctors and the nurses did not allow me to stay more. They kicked me out. But you know, that same night, what happened, you know? My mother's tongue got dried up. And there was a flashing of lights in front of her, she could see. And there are droplets of water falling from heaven. She could feel that. She could swallow that. And the next moment she's been healed. She's been walking. She's been out of the ventilator, you know. She has been walking. And within 7 days, doctor said that she's going to die. The maximum lifespan is 7 days. Do you know what happened? The miracle? Within 7 days, she was out of the hospital. She was out of the hospital. That's, you know, God, from that day, you know, she served the Lord for the last 24 years, you know. And, you know, and she went to the Lord 2011. And the last day also, she was testifying. I believe that in the church, you know, she suffered again with, you know, pneumonia. And she was not able to breathe. Her lungs was in problem. And after that, you know, after cancer, she lived for 24 years. You know, and pneumonia, she was been attacked with pneumonia, and you know, she could not breathe. But the last day, she was not sick actually. You know, she was preaching, she was teaching, and she could not breathe properly. Like that. She was speaking like that, like that. You know, we do not understand what happened. But next day morning, she got up, she had his breakfast, she had a breakfast. When she's having a breakfast, she went to the Lord. My both parents went to the Lord, and now they are with the Lord. And God has prepared a wonderful treasures for them. And I'm going to see one day my father and mother. What a wonderful father and mother God has given. I thank God now I am blessed with a wonderful mother here in the United States. Because when I see my mother, I see Joanne here. I see real, truly speaking, Joanne. Because first time I've seen her, you know, I see my mother in her. And she's a wonderful mother taking care of. Thank you, BG, for helping me to know a wonderful mother. And that's how really been connected with a wonderful mother. She's been taking care of me whenever I come to India. I've been blessed with a wonderful sister. I don't have a sister. I have only brother. Now I'm blessed with a wonderful sister. And she's really a wonderful sister too. Mighty brothers and sisters, I just want to encourage you, love God with all your heart. And the lady, the sinful lady, was weeping at the feet of Jesus. When you weep, you see the harvest. When you weep, you see the harvest. Christ. I surely believe my mother's weeping for the souls. Every day morning at 4 o'clock, kneeling down, she's so white. I am black, you know, my mother is so white. You see her knees are completely blackish because she always on the knees praying for the people, praying for the salvation. And I believe that now the ministry what we are doing is because of our wonderful prayers that really helping to reap the harvest. That's what the true love of God is. Spending time in His presence. Are we spending time in His presence? The more time you spend with Him, you know, the more you know. Oh, this lady, sinful lady, is in tears washing the feet of Jesus. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Are we sitting at the feet of Jesus? The true worship is at the feet of Jesus. Did you read in Revelation chapter 7 verse 9 and 11, you know, after this I looked and there before me was a great multitude and that no one could count from very nations, tribe, people and language standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were holding palm branches in their hands and they cried out in loud voice, salvation belongs to our Lord who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and he four living creatures. They fell down and worshipped God saying amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength to be God forever and ever. Amen. They fell down. That's the true worship. Fell down on his face, on his feet. Are we falling down on his feet? Spending time on his feet. And that's the true love with our heart. Maybe our singing with our lips, but our hearts are far away. God is really worried about us. God is really looking forward for a real heart who loves me with his whole heart. That's the reason Jesus said, you know, do you see this woman? I come into this house. You did not give me water for my feet, but she wet my feet with tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. Jesus said, because of her great love that he has shown, her sins are forgiven. That's the true love from the heart. That's what Jesus is expecting us, to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, all our mind and all our strength. That's the true worship. True worship is worshiping at the feet of Jesus, recognizing him as God, and you have falling on his feet. Are we comfortable at his feet of Jesus, kissing his feet, washing his feet? True worship is with emotions, crying, you know, what he has done, remembering what he has done. True worship is wordless. We are not able to speak anything, but we can feel what God's presence in our hearts and worship him with the true spirit and heart. Focusing on him, not on anything. That's the true worship. Loving him. This woman, you know, loved by giving an alabaster perfume. And this is a perfume she used for trade. That's her business. When she puts a perfume on her for having sex and having prostitution, that's her work. That perfume she is using for a noble cause and giving to a God. She has dedicated, you know, her life for the Lord. Are we using what God has given us for his glory and his honor? My last, before closing, loving God means helping his people and continue to help. Amen. Three things I've been sharing today. God has put in me burden. from the last night I was working. Last night I worked till 1:30, 12:30. And today morning, I was working after the meeting. You know, we had a meeting at Rotary Club. After that, I come from that moment till I come. You know, 5 o'clock, I was working on my sermon. This is a sermon. God is talking to me. Already the sermon is given. He's typing out everything and made it to copies. I was so, you know, because I love spending time in the presence of God. God speaks to me. I love to write it down. Oh, that is loving God is obedience. Loving God with a true heart is a true worship. Loving God is helping others. That's what Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10 says. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him. You have shown the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. When you help people, you are showing love towards God. That's how we love God, when we help people. Helping our neighbor, helping our person in need, helping the people in India, helping the orphans in India, helping the orphans around the world, in 20 million of children in the slums, you know, 20 million children without food, hungry stomachs, they're going every day. They're scared, they're exposed. Do you have a burden for them? Can you make an impact in their lives? Can you pray for them? Can you give a little bit what you have for the ministry, for the work, for these orphans, for taking care of them? Because that little bit can make a difference. Amen. There was a large multitude of people, but there were nothing to feed. There was a young boy who is having 5 bread and 2 fish. Is that sufficient for feeding multitude of people? No. There were 5,000 men. There were maybe 10,000 women. There may be 5,000 children. I don't know. Maybe it's 20,000. I don't know. But is it sufficient to feed? No. But what we have, when we give into God's hand, He can bless that and feed the multitude of people. And that is sufficient. Even the 12 baskets are leftovers. 12 baskets. God values your gift. God values your gift. My dear brothers and sisters, God values your gift. You know, the people were eating, and they eat well enough, and they throw the leftovers. Do you know why they throw out the leftovers? Jesus asked the disciples to pick up the leftovers, there were 12 baskets. There were no fish left over. They ate all the fish. Bread is left over because that's a barley bread where the poor people will eat. The leftover bread tells, you know, they did not value it. But Jesus has valued it. That's the reason he picked it up, asked the disciples to pick it up, because he knows the value of that food. We throw so much of food in the garbage. And like the people are hungry stomachs going in our country. 300 million of people starving without food. Not only children. 300 million. When we throw our leftovers, we can impact those people's life. We can be a blessing to them. Before closing, I want to just ask you to be impacted this people's life. James 1:28 says, religion that God our Father accepts is pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep ourselves from polluted by the world. That's the wonderful religion. Let's love God by helping others. One day Jesus is going to come back. He's going to sit on the throne. And he's going to separate the sheep and the goat. And he's going to say, you know what he's going to say? You know, he will separate them and say, you know, I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was naked, you clothed me. I was stranger, you invited me to come into your home. I was sick. You really helped me. I was in a prison. You visited me. When did we do, Lord? You have done for the least of my brothers. You have did it for me. So when we help a brother, when we help a small child in India, you are helping Jesus. You are giving to Jesus.
Amen.
One day Jesus will, well done, God will give. Maybe we'll think that is not big enough. That's not what we have helped. It's not a big enough thing that God but takes everything into granted. Everything into granted. Before closing, I just want to read one verse. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world. We look Indian third world country, America, as a rich country. God has blessed your country in a wonderful way. You know, our whole daily, every day if you're going to work, the whole day, the payment, you know, he gets $8. That's the payment he gets. The whole day against the world, the whole one day wage is for $8. And the prices list, the Coke is the same rate. The fuel is the same. Everything, the utensils, the eatable things. And that's the reason the poverty is increasing. Jesus said, commands 1 Timothy chapter 6 and said, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, but which is uncertain, but put their hope in God, who is richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay the treasures for themselves as a firm foundations for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. I encourage you this evening to love God, to obey Him, to love God with all your heart, sitting at His feet, worshiping Him, praying to Him, honoring Him, being closer to Him, knowing His mind, worshiping Him, loving Him in helping our brothers and sisters who are in need. Can I ask you to please stand up and run to this pulpit? Let's all dedicate our lives and rededicate once again in prayer, in seeking His wisdom, asking for forgiveness. Lord, forgive us, Lord. We are not able to love You as we have to love You, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. You loved us so much, Lord, that You gave everything for us, Lord. Oh, Lord, gave everything for us. Thank You, Jesus. Help us to be obedient to Your word, Lord. Obedient to You, Lord. Sorry for the disobedience we have been. From this day, we rededicate again, Lord, to be obedient to Your word, Lord. Forgive us anywhere we have been disobedient to You, Lord. Help us to worship with our hearts, not with our lips. Oh Lord, You are seeking for the people who worship with the hearts, Lord. With a true heart, help us to worship, Lord, like the sinful lady who came to Your presence and sat near Your feet and was crying and weeping and sharing His, oh Lord, tears on Your feet and crying for mercy. You have been saying that. This is the lady who loved me so much. That's the reason her sins are forgiven. Oh Lord, help us to love You that much, Lord. Seeking You, Lord. Oh Lord, sitting at a futile of, on Your, near Your feet, Lord. Spending time in Your presence, Lord. Help us to love You by helping our neighbors, helping our brothers and sisters who are in need all over the world. Thank You, Jesus. Help us to help our brothers in need in our country, in West Virginia. Thank You, Jesus. Help us to have that kind of wonderful heart which You have, Lord. We are the children of the Almighty God. We are the children of God, who has love towards people. And let us exhibit that kind of love. Let be a true Jesus in our lives. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. I ask Pastor Jimmy to lead in prayer, please.
Hallelujah.